and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this verse, when I read this as a young Christian, it says 1 Corinthians 13, great chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. It's not a love chapter, it's a charity chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 10 says, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part should be done away." Now, the church I was in when I got saved was very conservative, very sound in its doctrine. You're not going to like what I'm going to say here. Very sound in its doctrine, but they weren't King James only. They believed what the King James Bible taught. They just didn't believe like we believe about the King James Bible. So I asked the leaders of the church, I said, "I don't understand this verse. What does that mean? When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part should be done away." And they said, "Well, now that we have the New Testament, we don't speak in tongues anymore." Which, okay, that's a good fundamentalist, that's a good conservative answer. Except the passage doesn't say tongues exclusively. Look at verse 8. "Charity never faileth, whether it be prophecies, they shall fail, whether it be tongues, they shall cease, whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away." And I thought, well, man, if the verse means that what we just read about tongues passes away when we get the whole Bible, then I guess knowledge passes away too. Which there's a lot of evidence for that, but I don't think that's the meaning of the verse. Then I got in the King James crowd. And what seems like a real good defending the Bible answer, they said, "Well, we used to just have parts of the Bible, but now we got the whole Bible. The perfect Bible. See, we got the whole perfect Bible. But we didn't get rid of the parts that we had when we got the whole Bible, or we wouldn't have the whole Bible." So that didn't work. Now, if this wasn't a revival meeting, I could give you the answer in 5 minutes. But yeah, I mean, we came a long way and we've invested our evening, so let's take the long way around to get the answer tonight. This is part two of a message called "Where Will This Church Be 25 at its 50th anniversary?" Where are we going to be 25 years from now? It's not that far away. I'm hoping for the rapture. I thought it would be today. It still might be today. If it's not today, it might be tomorrow. I don't know what it's going to be. I'm ready for it. I hope it happens. But you know, 1993, if you're my age, if you're close to my age, if you're past my age, 1993 wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was the end of the world. Bill Clinton's pretending to be president. His wife is the president. You know, Tex Mars is writing about the woman riding the beast, and we, you know, 7,000 year periods, and so the second coming is going to be 2093. I mean, and just boom, just like that. Just like that, here we are. And 2043 will be here as fast as 2018 got here. Now, some of us might not be around to see it happen, but it's coming. It's coming quick. All right, so let's pray together. Father, bless your word tonight. Help me to make these things clear and make them as important to these men and women that come here tonight as you made them to me in my heart, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, a lot of reading tonight, just a little preaching. A lot of reading, just a little preaching. So most of what you hear tonight, you'll have to agree with. It'll be the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, "For as the body is one." As the body is one. So a body, your body, my body, is being used to illustrate something else. "As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body." See the colon there, boys and girls? See the colon? That's two periods, one on top of the other. That means everything on one side is a complete sentence, everything on the other side is a complete sentence. Semicolon. That's after your operation. No, a semicolon, that means on one side it's a complete sentence, on the other side it's an incomplete sentence. See how easy English grammar is? Nothing to it. Anyway, so we just finished a sentence. My body, your body, has a lot of different members, but I don't have 25, 100, 315 different bodies. I'm just one body. So also is Christ. There's not 1,000 bodies of Christ scattered all over America. Each and every one of us individually is not a body of Christ or the body of Christ. All the members in combination are the body of Christ. That's what the Bible says. Now, who is a member of this body? Verse 13, for by one Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Wherever you came from when you came to Christ, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jew doesn't matter, Gentile doesn't matter, bond doesn't matter, free doesn't matter, Yankee doesn't matter, Confederate doesn't matter, American doesn't matter, Haitian doesn't matter. I'm in Christ. You're in Christ. Christ is in me. Christ is in you. Too many of our brethren base their fellowship on their first birth, not their second. Verse 14, but the body is not one member, but many. Okay? You aren't the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. The pastor is not the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. He is starting out this passage. He's not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, though it's there. He's not talking about the work of regeneration, though he's there. He's talking about the misunderstanding the people at Corinth had that when God thinks about the church, he thinks about me. That when God wrote the Bible, he wrote it for me. No, he thinks about we. And he wrote it for we. The body is not one member. Okay? No offense. As important as you think you are, you're not. As irreplaceable as you think you are, you're not. As convinced as you are that everything should go your way and revolve around you, it's not supposed to go your way and revolve around you. If somebody ever called and said, we're looking for a church, what do you have for us? It's no big deal. What do you have for our family? It's no big deal. What do you have for youth? It's no big deal. If somebody ever called and said, we're looking for a place where we can serve God and serve others, you'd be so startled you wouldn't know how to respond. This generation walks through a church door and says, how are you going to serve me? What have you got for me? God said, we have nothing for you individually. We have something for everyone. Corporately. Keep going. If the foot shall say, man, wouldn't that freak you out? If you go home tonight and your foot says something to you, change medications. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It doesn't matter if the foot says, I don't want to be part of this. It is part of this. Correct? And if the ear shall say, that's kind of out of place, isn't it? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course it is. If the whole body were an eye, there's probably been a movie about that somewhere along the way. Where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Okay, he's talking about your physical body. So what he's leading us to, he can be certain we all get it. You don't want your body to be one giant eye. When your babies are born, you're not praying for a 7-pound, 8-ounce ear. Not only would it be a disaster, it wouldn't work. It couldn't function. Now, what all of us pastors have to figure out, and takes us about 10 years to figure it out, everybody's not going to do the same thing. And everybody's not supposed to do the same thing. But everybody's supposed to do something. Every part of your physical body doesn't do the same thing, and it shouldn't do the same thing, and if it did, you would be a freak. You would be greatly hindered in life if you had ears but no eyes, eyes but no feet, hands but no voice. Right? It's great for a church to have good music. It needs evangelism. It's great for a church to have evangelism. It needs prayer. It's great for a church to have prayer. It needs giving. You understand? We all have our points of emphasis. But we can't neglect any part of the ministry, which means there's no part of the body of Christ that we can afford to have sitting out their part of the ministry. In our church, we have 3, 4, 5 different activities on a Friday. 3, 4, 5 different activities on a Saturday. You can't go to all five, and you shouldn't. But you should be at one of them or on your knees or sitting in your hospital bed praying. Everybody's got to have a part in what the body's doing, or the body can't get the job done. Now, look at verse number 18. But now, hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. If God had chosen to put your eyes on the back of your head, we would all think girls with their eyes in the back of their head were beautiful, because everybody'd have their eyes in the back of their head. But if God put the eyes in the front and somebody showed up with their eyes in the back, you would be excited you finally saw the alien you've been hearing so much about. Your hands are, God knew what he was doing. I like that my hands are at the ends of my arms, not at my elbows. I'm glad my feet are on the bottom of my legs, not on the side of my head. God, right? God knew what he was doing. Okay, so if you can sing, sing. If you can teach, teach. If you can give, give. If you're good talking to lost people about the gospel, do that. Don't sit around mad at God because you don't get to be a pastor and you can't learn the piano like somebody else can learn the piano. Figure out what part God gave you in the body and stop trying to sit out because you don't have a more prominent part. Or a more glamorous part. We'll get to that in a second. And if they were all one member, where were the body? There wouldn't be a body. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You know, there are, you young people, you won't know this unless you're taking anatomy in your science class. There are many, many, many parts to my body that I'm not even aware of having until one of them quits working. As long as my spleen is working, honestly, I don't know where my spleen is. I don't know what it does. If it started hurting, I wouldn't know that's what was hurting. I'd have to ask somebody, what hurts there? And nobody would know except somebody whose spleen went bad. Now, I'm just pointing there, I have no idea where the spleen is. But if it went bad, I'd know it. You don't want to get recognition at church. You know who the pastors talk to me about when I'm in town? You know who the pastor, not yours, because nobody here has any problems, but most churches. They don't talk to me about the people who are faithful and happy and giving and doing. They talk about the ones they're losing, the ones that are getting away. Nobody cares about their kidneys till they fail. Nobody cares about their hamstring until it snaps. And then all you can think about is your hamstring. You understand? You don't want to be the center of attention at church. If you're the center of attention at church, it means you're not working right. You're not functioning properly. People come in, they didn't recognize me. They didn't pay attention to me. They didn't make a fuss over me. I sang a song and nobody came up and told me how great it was. Good. You're not having a heart attack. You're not having a stroke. This poor dear brother in our church, what a blessing, man. This man's been there almost since the day we started. And he contacted me and he said, they're going to go in and open my carotid artery and scrape it out to try and keep me from having a stroke. So I'm going to send a message out so it can go to all the church. I type carotid, wrong. Let's try it again, wrong. Try it again. Six times I tried to spell carotid. You know why I didn't know how to spell it? Because I really never even thought about a carotid or artery until that man's, however you pronounce it, till his went wrong. You don't want to be on the prayer list. You don't want to be the subject of fasting. You understand what we're saying? In the body of Christ, the ear and the nose and the eye and the hand and the foot should all function silently and without recognition, ministering to the rest of the body. Oh, if you had a place like that, how wonderful it would be. You know, it's such a joy to me to pastor a great church. I hope your pastors feel the same way. Honestly, I get there on a Sunday morning. I never have to call anyone and say, who's mowing the grass Saturday? I never have to call anybody and say, who's going to be in the nursery? So many times I get there, I don't know who's teaching Sunday school. We rotate our men. I don't know who's teaching Sunday school. Thank God for people who just find their job and do their job, and they don't have to be prodded or called or reminded. They don't show up absent. If they can't get there, they just say, Pastor, I asked so-and-so to fill in for me. Don't worry about it. We got it covered. Praise the Lord. That's how it should be. Five nursing home services. If you ask me who goes to each one, I don't know. I haven't been in so long, I don't know who's going. But there's always someone there. What a blessing. That's how it should be. You know when you have trouble in church? When there's somebody there that everybody's talking about. When there's a group there that everybody's whispering about. You know what that means? Something's messed up with the liver. The rotator cuff's gone bad. Now watch this. Verse 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now, I know it's kind of different here. It's a little different at our place, but not to the same extent. But honestly, when a missionary comes to your church looking for support to get to the field, he's not looking to the 5 and 6 year olds. When it's time to go street preaching, the 5 and 6 year olds might want to go, but it looks a little weird when one of them takes the megaphone. It's cute, but it's time to go door knocking. We don't want to fill the van with 6 year olds. Need to build a building? Nice to have a day when all the families come, but the 6 year olds usually end up out in the grass playing football, which is okay. And we said, well, you know, we don't really need them. You'll need them in 12 years. You'll need them in 22 years. You'll need them in 25 years. You know who doesn't show up for any activities? The widow ladies who have fought that fight for 30, 40, 50 years by their husband's side, whose prayers are keeping this thing from going down the drain. They seem to be unnecessary. But you know what the Bible says? If God put every member where it pleased him, there's no member that's unnecessary. Now again, I don't want to cross any line. I don't want to get in trouble. But ladies have some liberties that the men don't have. And we give them liberties because we put pressure on them that men don't put on other men. Well, straight men don't put on other men. But fingernails, if a woman's working hard all day and doing all the things she has to do, fingernails are not pretty by the end of the day. We don't rip them off. We file them and paint them. What are we trying to do? We're trying to make something that otherwise would be pretty, well, it would take away from my overall Esther-like appearance, we bestow more honor on something that's really not all that honorable. In 60 years of living, I don't remember, except maybe in a doctor's office, seeing a magazine, and the cover of the magazine was the model's ear. I hear people say, I just don't like my ears. Who would like their ears? Nobody's got good-looking ears. So ladies put little diamonds in them or little jewels in them or hang hoops on them for if a case of parrot flies by, they'll have a place to land. And so what are we doing? We are taking the parts of our body that would cause someone to think we're less than spectacular, and we're doing more for them than we would for the rest. You know what our churches tend to do? Bestow all of our effort and labor on the people who don't really need it. And neglect the people that are, you know, they're kind of different, they're kind of odd, they're kind of, they don't really fit in. Those are the people we're supposed to be ministering to extra. He said, come on, you do it for your physical body. Why won't you do it for my body? I asked a man one time, and this has never happened here, but I said, Pastor, I'm just curious. It seems like we attract a lot of real social misfits. Is that true of you? And he said, yeah, we have quite a few. And I said, why do you think that is? We were gonna make, when we started our Bible school, our school motto was gonna be, the brighter the light, the bigger the bugs. I was talked out of it. Anyway, and I asked this pastor, I said, why do you think that is? And he said, brother, we're the only people on earth who are nice to people who don't fit in. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to cater to the socially at ease and the cultural elites we're supposed to minister to everybody that's saved. And some people need more ministry than others. You know, I said last night, there's so many things I know now that I didn't know 25 years ago. And every time I say that, I think, if I live another 25 years, am I going to realize how dumb I am tonight? Probably. But you know, it's easy for you to say, that woman's crazy, or that guy's a nut job. You have no idea what happened to that girl when she was 6 years old. You have no idea what happened to that boy when he's 8 years old on that scouting trip. You know, some people are not as crazy as you'd be if you went through what they went through. Some people are doing really good with the baggage they got to carry. You just thought, thank God you got no bags to pick up. I'll tell you a story. I don't know if I've told this in a church before or not. When I worked at the post office all those years and delivering mail and trying to get a church going, every time I'd start talking to somebody about the Lord, there was a guy across the room, and he would just turn around and just unleash all of this anger and resentment and blasphemy. Every time something came up about the Lord. And one day he did that, and I turned around, I called his name, and I said, listen, man, I am truly sorry for what that priest did to you, but it's not God's fault. That guy never said another word. Not one time did he ever again speak out like that against Jesus. You know what? Everybody's not crazy just because they got up one day and said, I want to be crazy. Everybody doesn't have emotional problems because they just decided they wanted to, you know, be a burr under your saddle. Some people being through some stuff. You know what the Bible says? Just because you think they're not necessary, God might have put them there to see how much you're going to care for them. That might be the only reason that person's in your church, just for God to find out whether or not you care about somebody that's a little bit less than what you think you are. You hurt your ankle, I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to pay attention to it. You know what every one of you do? Instinctively, God put this in you. Instinctively, every one of you do this. If something comes flying through the air and hits you in the arm, you grab that spot and hold it. You're out playing ball and somebody kicks you in the shin. You know what you do? Instinctively, you reach down and grab that thing and hold it. You know what we do in the body of Christ? Somebody gets hurt and we say, look, well, they just ought to toughen up. Why don't you grab them? Why don't you hold them? That's what we do for our physical body. But if somebody's hurting in our spiritual body, it manifests where we are. Well, they're not as good as me. I'd have handled that a lot better. We'll see. You'll get your chance. All right, 24. For our comely parts have no need. That's all you pretty people. But God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. God doesn't want us divided into spiritual people, not spiritual people, busy people, not busy people, money people, not money people, dedicated people, not dedicated people. Those are your divisions. They aren't God's divisions. Look, if you're a spiritual giant in the church tonight, there was a time when you weren't. There was a time when you were the baby Christian. There was a time when you didn't know anything. There was a time when your hair was wrong and your music was wrong and your clothes were wrong and somebody taught you. Now that you're taught, you got no tolerance for anybody that hadn't been taught yet? That's how a church dies. We're up here on this mountaintop, and if you guys can't climb up here where we are, then you just need to go somewhere else. Nobody treated you that way when you got saved and walked in out of the world. No schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Yes. No, I'm sorry. That's how I preach it when I'm at the charismatic church. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Now look what he said. If God gave all that to his body, but he didn't give all of that to any one person in his body, then what every one of us needs, we have to get from other people. You don't have everything you need to be a great Christian. God gave some this and some that and some this and some that, and you need all of it. So you got to be with all the body to get all you need. You can't be a mature Christian sitting at home on your couch watching preachers on the internet. That guy doesn't have everything you need. Well, there's people in those churches I don't agree with. You need them. You need them to teach you grace and patience and charity and long-suffering and compassion and humility. And you stay around enough of them long enough, you'll realize that you are to somebody else what those people are to you. You don't know it because people don't tell you. You're a pain in somebody's neck. Somebody's praying for you to get. How can they not see that? It's true. All right, 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. I'm going to show you something better than being a spiritually gifted member of the body of Christ. What could be better than being baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ and being a particular member of the body of Christ, placed there by the Lord himself and gifted by the Holy Ghost? What could be better than that? 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. So here's one of the gifts for an example. And have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now think about this. Every saved person tonight who's out of church and backslidden out there in that world is a baptized member of the body of Christ gifted by the Holy Spirit. And you know why they're out of church? Because it wasn't what they wanted to do anymore. Maybe they got their feelings hurt. Maybe they got tired of the music. Maybe they didn't get a prayer answered. I didn't get what I wanted in that church, so I'm gone. With my gifts, with my Holy Spirit, with what somebody needs from me to live the full Christian life, but I don't care. I'm hurt, I'm offended, I'm discouraged, I'm disappointed, I'm disillusioned. That's it, I'm done, I quit. But you're not done, you can't quit, you're still part of the body. You're just a part of the body that's not ministering to the rest of the body. So your gifts without charity are worthless. Your abilities without charity are worthless. Your place in the body without charity is worthless. If everything you got from God, you keep it just for yourself, you're of no good to God or man. That's what he said. Paul's got all this knowledge from the Holy Spirit. If he never went anywhere and proclaimed it, what good is it? We say, Paul, apostle, he's the greatest teacher, the greatest evangelist who ever lived. Not if he gets mad and stays home because God let him go to jail. He's got to stay in active fellowship with the church in order to minister to them with what God gave him, or it's worthless. You know how many people spent years in a church like ours and a church like yours and know that Bible inside and out, and when they run into somebody witnessing somewhere on the street somewhere, they can humiliate them because they can just refute everything they've got to say from the Bible with a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other? You know what all that knowledge of the Bible is? You know what good it's doing them? No good at all. It's not doing them any good. It's not doing their wife any good. It's not doing their children any good. It's not doing any saved person in the world any good. And they know the Bible. But you guys ever gone into jails and rescue missions and there's a guy sitting there and you say, John, all right, let's turn John 14, 6. Oh, I know that verse. Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then what are you doing in a rescue mission while your wife's starving at home? Oh, preacher, I got saved when I was 18 years old. I just had, you know. Okay, so you did. But if in my heart I don't care about you, if in my heart I don't love you, what good is everything God has given me? It's worthless. You know how many great singers and great musicians and great personalities and great businessmen have been a part of this church and they're not a part of this church anymore? They still have their voice, they still have their money, they still have their personality. It's just not doing anybody any good. God didn't save you and give you all that he gave you for you. He gave it to you for me. And for him and for her. And what God gave you is only of value as you pass it on to others. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. See, if he'd have just said charity suffereth long, I can hit that mark. But to still be kind to the people who are causing me to suffer, that's Christ. Charity envieth not. Well, if God's going to give you everything he gave somebody else, why would you ever need to deal with envy? You know why you're dealing with envy? Somebody's kids turned out better than yours. Somebody's health is better than yours. Somebody's spiritual opportunities are larger than yours. God made you an elbow. He let somebody else be a hand. God made you a kneecap. Somebody else got to be the voice. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Look at me, look at me, look at me. We didn't come here to look at you. We came here to look at Christ. Does not behave itself unseemly. You ever get these, probably never happened here. We get these people grow up in church and they leave and they go out in the world and Father's Day, Mother's Day, something like that. They're going to bless mom and dad by coming back to church. The girl in her miniskirt and the boy with his earring. You're not blessing mom and dad by showing up like that. It's unseemly. And you know it. But what you're saying is you're walking in and saying, it's all about me. And if you guys don't like me the way I am, too bad about all of you. Nobody's saying you're not saved. Nobody's saying you don't know a lot about the Bible. Nobody's saying you couldn't be used of God somewhere at some mega outfit. Just not of any good to anybody because you don't have any charity. Why does it have to be you? Can I tell you something? Can I let you in a little secret? Our town thinks we're a cult. And we talk to people from the college, just, I'd never go to that church because nobody in your church is allowed to watch TV and none of the women in your church are allowed to wear pants and none of the kids in your church are allowed to get an education. And it doesn't do any good to try and reason with or talk with them. But listen, my views on schooling are shared by a minority of people in our church. My views on clothing are shared by a minority of people in our church. My views on a lot of things are shared by a minority of people in our church. But you know what we have? We have a church full of people who are willing to set aside their opinions where they differ with my opinions because there's so much good to be gained by having my family in a church like that. Why would I throw it all away over a pair of shorts? You understand? Well, preacher, I don't know if I agree with him about makeup. Well, fine. Go home and put on 5 pounds of it. I'm not kicking your door in. But don't come to church and demand everybody notice you. We're not here to notice you. We're not here to notice your defiance or your compliance. We're not going to have the choir sing one song about you ever. If all your kids get saved and go to the mission field, we're not going to sing a song about you. If all your kids backslide and go out in the world, we're not going to sing a song about you. We are here to sing about Jesus. People come in, they should look at us. Look at us. We don't eat potato chips. Look at us. We don't. Good, there's more for me. So one family came in and said, you know, we don't believe in using deodorant. We know. You don't have to tell us that. We know when you get here. Come on. Don't come to church to vaunt yourself. Don't come to church to puff yourself up. Don't come to church to, if we've decided that something is seemly, the only reason you be unseemly is just to get people to notice you. And you're going to be disappointed because it doesn't work. If I went to a biker bar with a leather yellow jacket or a yellow leather jacket, I could say, look, guys, I'm different. They're not there to hang out with somebody different. Go get a black leather jacket, put some patches on it, and come back. Why would I expect the whole biker bar to change because I got this really cool yellow leather jacket? They're just going to look at me like a guy that doesn't get it. You're not going to be the revolutionary that takes this church contemporary. They're just going to all look at you like somebody who doesn't get it. Let me know when I cross the line, brother. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Now, come on, who's he writing to? Isn't he writing to the church at Corinth? He's not writing to the world at Corinth. He's writing to the church at Corinth, correct? Okay. Look at verse 4. Suffereth long. See that? Verse 5, not easily provoked. You know what that means? Of course somebody hurt your feelings at church. That's what people do. Of course somebody offended you. People offend people. If you spent as much time with any other group of people as you do the people you go to church with, they would offend you. They would wear you out. They would provoke you. That's just what we do. These people come to me all the time and say, well, preacher, you know, I got a problem with so-and-so. Why? Well, he was talking about me behind his back, like you're doing now. Everybody, come on, just raise your hand. Everybody talks about people behind their back. That's what we do.
I'm not going back to that church. They were talking about me behind their back.
Who was? Well, and you start naming names. And before you left, you'd been talking about them. That's what we do. Have some charity. Be as tolerant of other people's sins as you are your own. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now watch. Here's the answer to the verse. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. You know what God told you you were in chapter 12? Verse 23, our uncomely parts. Verse 24, our comely parts. You know what's gonna, you know what you know right now as a baby Christian? You know what you know right now as a young, immature Christian? You know the part of the Bible that's for you. You know the part of salvation that's for you. You know the part of church fellowship that's for you. And we prophesy in part. When you talk about what God showed you and what God did for you and how God blessed you and who you witnessed to and how many tracts you got to give out. And we're fine with that for a while. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, I'm going to show you a cross-reference that will identify beyond a shadow of a doubt what that which is perfect means in the context. You know what he's wanting to do? He's wanting to bring you beyond your part and bring you into perfection. What he said. Now, what's he going to have to do to make that happen? Verse 11. When that, or 10, that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, should be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. What is the outstanding characteristic of every child? They are 100% self-centered. You have to train them and teach them to care for brother, sister, friend, neighbor, 100% self-centered. They show up that way. A baby wakes up 2 in the morning hungry and thinks to itself, Mom's tired, I'll wait. Never. Put 4 boys in a nursery, put a tractor down on the floor. 3 of them do not say, I'll wait, you go first. Selfish. So everybody gets saved is saved. Everybody saved, baptized by the Holy Ghost into Christ. Everybody saved, a gifted member of the body of Christ. And selfish as they can be. Some grow out of it, most never do. They just keep hopping from church to church to church trying to find one that's all about them. And it doesn't exist. Now, keep your finger right there. Come to Ephesians 4. We want to get away from the part and we want to get to that which is perfect. Let's get our context. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. See that? That's right where we were, 1 Corinthians 12. See that? The risen Christ giving spiritual gifts to the members of his body. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. None of the gifts were given for the benefit of the one who got the gift. All of the gifts were given for the benefit of others. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, watch, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know what that which is perfect is, scripture with scripture? It's you giving up your individuality, and 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 every one of us walking in here recognizing from the depths of our heart, I am part of a body, and the body means more than me. And as long as a church is just a bunch of individuals trying to get what they can for themselves, it can't mature. You got to come here. Listen, your pastors teach verse by verse through the Bible. We teach verse by verse through the Bible. I'm coming through the Bible, and here's a passage on young men. I write unto you, young men, because you're strong. Well, 70% of our church gets nothing out of that message. It's not for them. All right, our lesson today, we're teaching through the family. Our lesson today is on wives. Well, there goes 60% of the congregation. We're going to preach a sermon today on burdens and how God lifts your burdens. Well, you're on top of the world. You want to sing three more songs. Your favorite song will rarely be sung. A topic you're particularly interested in will rarely be preached. If you come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday to get something for yourself, you will many, many times be disappointed because there won't be anything there for you. If you come to church every Sunday to find somebody hurting and somebody faltering and somebody needs prayer and somebody needs help and somebody needs something done around their house and somebody needs somebody to go with them knocking on some doors or to make a visit, you will never go home disappointed because there's always somebody here you can do something for. There's always somebody here you can minister to. And if we could get to the place where we were coming to church for the church, not for me. For me to do something for the church, not for the church to do something for me, every time we come would be great. Let's see if this matches the context. Ephesians 4, verse number 14. That we be no more, why look at there, children. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So he wants me to be perfect and to not be a child. But speaking the truth in love may, look at it, grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body. Look at verse 13. Till we all, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. According to the effectual working in the measure of, look at it, every, say it, part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying, and here it comes, of itself in love. Look what he just said. If the part ministers to the body, the part gets ministered to. If the part tries to make everything about the part gets nothing. Isn't that amazing? The diabetic, you know why they lose their toes? The rest of the body can't get the blood to the toes. It's amazing, isn't it? The stroke. What happened? The brain, the nerve endings, they can't get the signals down the arm. Tonight, I'm not even thinking about it. Praise God. Some of you have to. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm standing up here breathing. I'm breathing. That breath goes into my lungs and goes out from the lungs into the blood cells, and the blood cells run to every part of the body. See that breath? That breath? Every part of my body is blessed by that breath. Now, watch this. That breath does me no good in my hands. It does me no good sitting on this tabletop. That breath is only of value when it gives itself to the lungs. Ever been to a museum and there's a, you know, here's an amputated hand and here's an amputated, I don't know what kind of museums I go to, but anyway. The surgeon amputates the leg. Can I have it? What good's a leg when it's cut off from the body? But if it's joined to the body, the whole body's happy about it. You look with your eyes. I was at a church Tuesday night, and we went out from church, and there's a little fawn way back in the back field. And I said, man, I want to go get a closer look at that fawn. I'm glad my legs didn't say, too bad. Not taking you all that way. It's great, the eyes and the thoughts and the legs, everything cooperates. No, listen, you just got saved. You've only been saved a few years. Nobody's criticizing you. It's okay to be a newborn babe. It's okay to be a child. But the idea is to grow up. And growing up, listen, I hate to say this, but it's true in every one of our churches. We get these guys and they think growing up means learning more about the Bible. And they take that Bible and ruin their wives with it, and they ruin their kids with it, and they ruin their life with it. Growing up doesn't mean learning more stuff. It means learning to care about somebody besides yourself. I've got a smart wife who really knows the Bible. I sure am glad she loves me. In fact, I've been gone a week. I don't want her to quote me a new verse she memorized. I want her to kiss me. She picks me up at the airport, and I reach out. She said, no, wait. I'll quote you some scripture. No. Been reading the Bible all week. Kiss me. Listen, don't just come to church to learn some more stuff. I know that's why we're in a church like this. We want to learn the Bible. But if all you're learning is information, you're not learning the Bible. Come back to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's see if we're on the right track here. We're heading down the home stretch. 11, I'm gonna emphasize it. You can see it if you look at it. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but I became a man, I put away childish things. You know what characterizes spiritual babies? I. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Guess what? The ultimate end of this thing will be when you're in heaven and you see Christ face to face. And I promise you, when you get there, nothing's going to be about you. We will all be united in our praise, our adoration, our worship, our giving Him the glory. And nobody's going to step up and say, what about me? I was a great pastor. Look at the throne. Yeah, but I was a great soul winner. Look at the throne, man. Nobody's here to sing about you. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Why? Why? For he that speaketh an unknown tongue, there's a spiritual gift, speaketh unto men, not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mystery. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification and exhortation and comfort. You know what he just said? Well, I'm just going to be in God. I'm going to walk with God, and I'm going to just live my life with God, and I'm going to separate from all these people who aren't as good as me, and just going to be me and God. You know what he said? I want you to do something for others more than I want you to do something for me. That's what he said. If you're speaking to God, verse 2, that's good. But if you're speaking to minister to others, that's better. He that speaketh an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Three times he said it. I'd rather you do something for somebody else than do something for yourself. How much more so? Oh, well, verse 19 or 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words that edify me. Five for me, 10,000 for the church. How about that? Now here's what we need. We've got all these young men here, all these young ladies here. Some of you married, some of you not married, some of you start out on families, some of you not start out on families. When we have a couple in our church and their marriage starts falling apart, they know everything I'm going to tell them before I tell them. There's not one verse about marriage we didn't go over before they got married. There isn't one verse in there they haven't heard preached all their life. But if there's no charity, we can't keep that ship afloat. It's going to sink. People get bitter, they get sour, they start, you can tell, they're on their way out the door. They're going to take their family with them, then they're going to try and take their friends with them. They used to amen the sermons on loving the church and loving the brethren and being faithful. And they still know all that's true. And they still believe the King James Bible, and they still got their prayer list. They're going to pray for about 6 months after they leave. They just don't love the pastor anymore, and they don't love the church people anymore, and they don't love the fellowship anymore, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. Charity, that, listen, young people, the day you've got to learn the Bible, you've got to know the doctrine, you've got to have the discipline and the work ethic to live for Jesus. But if you don't learn to love somebody besides yourself, you'll be unhappy in church, you'll be unhappy in your marriage, you'll eventually be unhappy with your children. There's nothing God can do to bring joy to the heart of somebody who just cares about themselves. Everything else will fail. Sooner or later, everything else is going to fail. I hate to even say this, because then you start thinking about people. Some of the best Bible teachers and hardest workers we've ever had in our church are shot. They are just gone down the drain. Because what they never got over was loving themselves. The day is going to come, brother. The day is going to come. Well, what will keep your life afloat is charity. What will keep your Christian fellowship and your ministry afloat is charity. And young people, I know, you got careers and you got school and you got a, you know, the baby's crying all night. You got a lot to do. And then we want you to come to church and learn the Bible. Don't just do this as your independent Baptist religion. Let God teach you to care about others. Charity never faileth. I believe that which is perfect is when the church gets to the place where it's no longer a collection of individuals concerned about their part, but when we all come and work together to honor and glorify Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be a great place to be? Mm-mm. Father? You didn't put the Ten Commandments on the cross. You put your Son on the cross. For thousands of years, you told man what to do, and then one day you manifested the fullness of your love toward us. I pray, God, that you'd help these men, this church, with all their Bible knowledge and all their facts and all their information, to have a heart full of love for others. I pray for these ladies with all their high standards, all their separation, all their dedication to what's righteous. I pray, God, that along with it be a heart of charity and love for others. Help us, God. Help us to go on to perfection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.